Welcome to The Perfect Storm, a bi-weekly podcast for business executives and cybersecurity professionals. Industry veterans Michael Markulek and Matthew Webster chat with guests about the latest cyber news, threats, and trends, and how all of it impacts their businesses. Harbor Technology Group is a cybersecurity consulting firm that offers advisory services to the SMB. Harbor believes by taking a proactive rather than reactive approach to cybersecurity, business leaders can develop a cybersecurity program that will address external requirements, exceed client expectations, and ultimately take their organization to the next level. Harbor's innovative processes are based on industry standard frameworks that are tailored to meet the needs of small and medium-sized businesses.
Welcome back to another edition of The Perfect Storm. I'm pleased today to have a very unique guest to talk about some trends in the cybersecurity industry. Arthur Newman from IMRI is here to kind of give us a little bit about his history, a little bit about what he does at IMRI, and then, you know, we're going to really jump in and talk about, you know, the defense contracting world and where the CMMC is. Thanks for joining us today. Please give us a little bit about your background, what you're doing at IMRI, and we'll get going from there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on. Like you said, my name's Arthur Newman. I'm IMRI's Director of IT and Cybersecurity Delivery. Been with them about 12 years now. And prior to that, was a Navy veteran. That's where I got my start in IT. So been doing the IT thing for a while now and started with Linux and storage and virtualization and all of the fun things that are more on-premise infrastructure before making my way towards security and eventually finding my way into project and program management, where I spend most of my time now between the two is with cybersecurity and project and program management. I'm a CISSP, you know, have a master's in science from Carnegie Mellon. So had a fair sampling of federal and commercial IT and cybersecurity out in the field.
So, you know, if we were in some court of law, you know, they, you know, you're one of those recognized experts in the subject matter. Real quick to kind of hop into, you know, what's going on with defense contractors. You know, we saw the updated CMMC framework, I guess, early last year, you know, mid-November. We've got, you know, we got some progress on, you know, actually having dates and firm commitments from the government of when things have to be implemented. What are you seeing as you're talking to defense contractors, big and small? You know, are they ready for CMMC? Where do they stand on getting the controls in place? And, you know, have you seen any actual audits or assessments coming out of the either DIBCAC or, you know, folks kind of doing them themselves?
Yeah, so definitely have seen a bit of activity there. It seemed like everybody was waiting for the ball to drop. Obviously, CMMC 1.0 was kind of dialed back, and now we're in this more of an auditing function on the NIST 800-171 and with the phased rollout schedule of what's going on with CMMC. Starting to see some of the first audits come through and working with some partners and customers. And it seems like it's definitely ramping up. And as those expectations become part of reality for anybody doing work in the DIB, it's going to become a more serious thing for sure. And a bit of a reality check for a lot of contractors, I'm sure, as they were, I don't want to say pencil whipping or okie doke in the 171, but might need to do some enhancements to how they were meeting the 171 controls.
So I'm going to, two questions that come off of that, and I'll take the first one. You said you're starting to see audits. Are the audits companies doing it themselves, going out and getting a C3 PAO and conducting their own assessments? Or are you actually seeing, you know, either a prime or a government agency come out and do the audits like the DIBCAC assessments?
So the only examples I really have were companies going to the C3 PAOs themselves to get an audit. I haven't seen anybody going through prime situation that you described there, but definitely have seen an organization go through and actually have a C3PAO look at what they're doing.
Right. A little bit on our observations out there. You know, you said, you know, pencil whipping or you know, working their way through the controls. I'm actually finding a lot of organizations have taken the controls seriously. What they're lacking is the documentation and evidence and some of that, you know, what I would consider basic blocking and tackling, right? They've gone as far as getting GCC high. They've done proper segmentation. They're practicing least privilege. They've got decent or good access control, but they have no written policy. They don't have flow. Yeah. They don't have flow diagrams.
Yeah.
You know, their SSP is blank except for the, you know, the description of what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. And a lot of that from what I've seen is stemming from organizations having IT staff and IT staff definitely able to dial in and deal with the technical aspect of the controls, but not necessarily having the experience in the cybersecurity side of the house to start that top-down executive cybersecurity focus and put it into policy and have that sort of trickle down. So it's kind of working from the technical side to meet the controls, but lacking in the cybersecurity leadership guidance that establishes how we're going to meet these controls and what the organization's intent is for meeting the controls.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's been a very IT-centric approach to compliance. And that's not what CMMC is really meant to be, right? CMMC is more of a maturity model, a management framework than really a technical framework. Now, you've got to do the blocking and tackling. There's no getting away from multi-factor authentication and, you know, network segmentation and all those kind of techie kind of things. But to me, that's not where the heavy lift is right now.
Yeah. And policy is one of the things about any cybersecurity framework is every organization might tackle the same problem differently based on what their business needs are and might have a different appetite for risk to some degree. So really that gets established in the policy and the appetite of risk by the executive leadership of the organization. So again, you're meeting controls, but are you doing that based on an alignment with the business side of the house and what's needed to make the business successful?
And given that our audience is primarily, you know, small and medium-sized business, CEOs, you know, CIOs and a little bit larger firms, what advice are you giving to them, right? What is the, you know, what is the CMMC message? Is it run fast? Is it move along with the crowd? Is it focus on documentation? You know, what are you telling, you know, people when they ask you at cocktail parties, you know, what they should be doing?
I think my advice is the same for, you know, any small and medium-sized organization. Really, the executive leadership needs buy-in on this. It needs to start, like I said, from the top down, and the organization needs to start asking itself some serious questions about what's acceptable, how do we want to achieve this, what our budget is, and get involved early. Start asking questions with the IT and cybersecurity staff and start building out the expertise within your organization to address CMMC because it's coming, it's here. And if you're just starting this journey, you're somewhat behind the power curve. And so there's definitely some expedience required to make sure that you're meeting those contractual needs because the big organizations have already no doubt made their way through a large part of this and had some of this in place, but the small and medium organizations most likely need some of that expertise and work to be done, particularly in the policy side of the house.
Yep, definitely. And that's kind of mirrors what we're telling folks. This is an executive function. You know, you need to put executive weight leadership into getting it accomplished. It's not something you can just kick over to the technical team and expect that you're going to get through an audit or an assessment. So yeah, we're delivering kind of that same message. Yeah. So I want to pivot a little bit. We talked a little bit as we were kind of getting briefed for this. You can't talk anything today without mentioning AI. AI's in toasters. I think they use AI to make orange juice. It's crazy where AI has found itself. But interestingly enough, and having worked with a lot of defense contractors, we're seeing the defense contractors being early adopters, and a lot of folks who don't have programming experience or don't have network experience, network design experience, or all of a sudden writing applications that tap into databases or tap into ERP systems that have CUI in them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is a real conversation for us. It's something the CMMC framework really doesn't address. So I just want to get your thoughts. What are you seeing out there? You know, is AI going to be a problem? And have you heard any rumblings about the CMMC DoD control board kind of addressing it?
Yeah. So I haven't heard anything particularly about the control board addressing it, but I think one of the big things about CMMC is, you mentioned it earlier, it's a maturity model. It's made to make organizations think like a mature organization in terms of IT and cybersecurity. And if you are doing that, you are thinking about applications that you introduce and tools that you introduce into your environment as a mature organization. So you're not just going out and getting freeware and dumping it into your IT infrastructure and allowing users to install random tools and join them to your domain, et cetera. So in that level two, level three maturity model, you're thinking about what's going on in terms of applications and application development from a mature standpoint. And that is going to improve the overall capabilities of assessing what's going in. I definitely have seen organizations that are struggling with users bringing in tools that they believe will help them do their job faster, not reading those agreements that are attached to those tools about how the data will be used. So I think it's absolutely a concern, and I fully expect that it will be addressed, but it really, it's baked into the model when if you look at it from a holistic standpoint.
Right. So I give you an opportunity to kind of tell us a little bit more about IMRI and what you're doing at IMRI to kind of help the DIB address both IT and security issues, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. But I want to give you a few minutes to kind of pitch IMRI and kind of give the message of what you're doing out there.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. So in addition to my role as a delivery director, I'm also, you know, vCISO. So we do provide vCISO support, cybersecurity consulting support, IT infrastructure consulting support. But one of our unique functions stems from a product that we actually developed in-house, and it's now it's a own wholly owned corporation, Cytelix. And one of the reasons that Cytelix has been so successful, particularly as it comes to CMMC, is helping small and medium organizations and even large organizations address CMMC or any cybersecurity framework controls, in addition to meeting, you know, the governance, risk, and compliance aspect of assessing compliance with a framework and having a third party do some validation of that. There's also an operational aspect that comes with a fully 24/7 SOC, EDR, XDR, and some other tools that allow an organization and its executive leadership to understand where the organization is in that moment and ensure that that is a true picture of what's going on, giving some real metrics about vulnerabilities, gaps in policy, and then using AIML to analyze what that organization's weak spots are from an attack vector standpoint. So that I feel like we're uniquely positioned to aid businesses that are lacking in that cybersecurity expertise and help them, you know, meet their compliance needs, be it CMMC, PCI, NIST CSF, any of the frameworks we're completely adaptable to meet and validate.
Excellent. So as we were getting set up for this call, in all fair disclosure, right? You know, I was the former CEO at Lumetta, which got sold a couple of times, has done a lot of work with IMRI and over the years. So, you know, we've got many connections. And I was talking to a colleague of mine who asked me to ask you about the Tanzanite mine. And you know, maybe I don't know the story. Maybe he doesn't know the story, but he suggested it'd be a quick topic for the end of our conversation.
Yeah. So I had the opportunity to last year climb Mount Kilimanjaro over in Tanzania and do, you know, a number of African safaris out in the Serengeti and various other places within Tanzania and Kenya. And in between one of those safaris and climbing Kilimanjaro, I had a couple down days. And as I was driving around with my guide, they mentioned that Tanzanite was mined in Tanzania, as the name might suggest. For the uninitiated, Tanzanite is a purple bluish mineral that's rarer than diamond. It's found only in Tanzania. And the mine is actually not too far from Mount Kilimanjaro. The only set of mines, the only area where you can mine this in the world has been discovered today. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, and I had this downtime and being the somewhat adventure seeker I am, I was like, hey, can I go there? Will you guys let me in the mine? And they're like, nobody's ever asked that before. So they, you know, did some digging on their end and, you know, passport, visa, confirmation, document copying later. I was walking into the, you know, compound with armed guards that protect the Tanzanite so nobody smuggles it out. And shuffling down a road on the back of a dirt bike, no helmet, and heading to the mine. And it's a 45 degree slope down about, I want to say 300-400 meters down. And, you know, with the actual miners that go in, because they don't really have like a tour program and there's no stairs or elevator. I don't know what I was thinking it would be, but you're basically holding on to a plastic sprinkler pipe, kind of one of those semi-soft plastic sprinkler pipes that you might dig up in your lawn. And yeah, they're just reminding you, make sure to hold on to this, because if you let go of it, you're going to go all the way down to the bottom. So yeah, I guess I thought that that was the thing to do before my Kilimanjaro hike. And yeah, they had done some fresh blasting of TNT so you could smell the fumes from that. And they didn't want me to stick down there too long because apparently those fumes aren't good. But yeah, it was a very unique experience. I can definitely say my tour operator said that they had never done it. And they don't think they're going to recommend it to other people, but it was a unique experience that was afforded to me because I asked. So,
well, I mean, yeah, that great story. And thanks for sharing. Yeah, those opportunities you take when you can get them. And I understand your passion and joy for those kind of things, having rappelled off of the Great Wall and having walked into Machu Picchu on the Appalachian Trail. You know, those kinds of experiences are unique and, you know, you got to live them. Yeah, last thing before I let you go, we ask all of our guests to kind of give us a coastal destination, a harbor, a beach town, you know, where you can sit and watch the sunset and have a cold beer. So I don't know if you've got any recommendations or any thoughts, but what's your favorite beach bar? And if I get there, what should I order?
So I feel like I am somewhat uniquely poised to answer this as a Navy veteran, but the place I lived in Italy when I was stationed there was a little town called Pozzuoli. It's outside of Naples, about maybe 30 minutes. And the Italians call it the city of free time. And it's where all of the people from Naples go to spend their, you know, evenings partying, or one of the many places that the people from Naples do that. And there's a nice long lungomare with, you know, a boardwalk in there right outside the city, and a historic center, and a great pizza restaurant called Acqua e Farina, which means flour and water. And it is an amazing place. It has one of the largest amphitheaters in Italy that's still standing, called Anfiteatro Flavio. Yeah, so that's my pick. It's in the Campi Flegrei, which is an active volcanic field. And there's a great volcanic steam mountain next to it called Solfatara. So that's my pick. It's one of my favorite places I've ever lived, one of my favorite places I've ever been, and a great harbor.
Yep. And again, I really want to thank you for your time. And hopefully, as CMMC progresses and as we continue to work together, helping small and medium-sized businesses, you know, we'll have you back on sometime in the near future.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate the opportunity to sit down and speak with you.
Great. Thanks.
Harbor's innovative processes are based on industry standard frameworks that are tailored to meet the needs of small and medium-sized businesses. We would also like to thank Tom Marshall for the original music. Yes, that Tom Marshall from Phish fame. Harbor's portfolio of services is designed to meet the cybersecurity needs of small and medium enterprises. We offer a range of services from cyber risk advisory to VCSO consulting to meet specific security requirements without putting a strain on your technology budget. If you like what you heard here, be sure to subscribe and share with your friends and colleagues, and are available on Spotify and Apple. You can reach us through our website if you have additional questions or suggest a great harbor we should mention on our next show.